Hey.
Hello and welcome to The Debate. I'm Kaveh Tapwe. U.S. President Donald Trump is exercising his own version of diplomacy with Iran. On the one hand, he threatens Iran. On the other hand, he says that he's open to a new nuclear deal. And now he has said that he is open to discussions without any preconditions. In this debate, we will look at the U.S. president's approach to Iran and whether Iran can take him seriously, especially when his Secretary of State comes out and sets out preconditions after the U.S. president's promise not to have any.
Inconsistent is one word to describe U.S. administration policy on Iran. Following withdrawal from the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, Washington has threatened to apply all possible means against Iran. The U.S. Secretary of State initiated an anti-Iran campaign, setting inconceivable conditions and vowing strongest sanctions in history. And yet the U.S. president has offered to meet with top Iranian officials at any time. Donald Trump's overture comes as tensions between Tehran and Washington have taken a turn for the worse over the past few weeks, with U.S. and Iranian officials exchanging threats and warnings. However, Trump is now saying he's willing to negotiate with Iran without any preconditions.
Do you have preconditions for that meeting?
No preconditions, no. They want to meet, I'll meet. Anytime they want. Anytime they want. It's good for the country. Good for them, good for us, and good for the world.
Less than 10 days ago, the U.S. president threatened Iran on his Twitter account with hardships that he said few in history had experienced. Trump's fiery tweet was then dismissed by the Iranian foreign minister, who said Tehran was unimpressed by such threats. Mohammad Javad Zarif said Iranians have been hearing similar threats for the past 40 years. But it was Trump's own Secretary of State who undermined the president's credibility above all others. Mike Pompeo revoked his boss's conciliatory gesture only hours later.
The president wants to meet with folks to solve problems. If the Iranians demonstrate a commitment to make fundamental changes in how they treat their own people, reduce their malign behavior, can agree that it's worthwhile to enter in a nuclear agreement that actually prevents proliferation, then the president said he's prepared to sit down and have the conversation with them.
Political analysts say the new U-turn by Trump is yet another instance of his erratic policy decisions.
U.S. foreign policy has always been based on caution and careful consideration and negotiation to the nth degree. And now we have a president who seems to just make things up as he goes along. I would be very cautious if I were Iran with this offer.
The bottom line is we don't know where this president stands. Let's keep in mind, Iran negotiated with the United States in a long, tedious negotiation, reached something called JCPOA, Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. However, Mr. Trump decided to pull out of it in May of this year. Now, what the president is saying doesn't make sense.
Washington's contradictory signals come despite repeated announcements by Tehran that it would not hold talks with the U.S. On Monday, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman, Bahram Qasemi, said Washington has persistently been hostile toward the Islamic Republic and shown that it cannot be trusted. He stressed that the conditions were not right for negotiations with the U.S. On May 8, Trump withdrew Washington from the 2015 nuclear deal signed between Iran and the P5 plus one group of countries, saying it was flawed to the core. Washington later urged its allies to cut to zero all oil imports from Iran by November, or risk facing sanctions. The announcement prompted the Iranian president to suggest that Tehran could strike back by stopping the flow of oil out of the region.
Our guest joining us for this edition of The Debate, author and political scientist Kaveh Afzal-Siabi, joins us from Boston, and Secretary General at the Next Century Foundation, William Morris, joins us from London. John, welcome. William Morris, let me first start with you. We're looking at what the U.S. President Donald Trump has said, and let me quote him, that he would certainly meet with Iranians, as he said, with no preconditions. So my question to you is he sincere about the notion of preconditions? And if so, what conditions may he been referring to that he now says that he won't use as preconditions?
Yes, I mean, he changes his mind, as you've rightly said, many times on press TV, and he has his Secretary of State has come out with differing comments. The idea of preconditions are ridiculous, really. We need to get down to serious talks. And I hope that Iran is ready for serious talks at any point. What is a real tragedy is that this is all such a waste of time. We had the JCPOA, it was a perfectly credible agreement. And now we have to go back to the drawing board. I would like to see Iran keep America waiting a little and to see whether Europe can deliver on the JCPOA before resorting to a whole new strategy. And I would hope that would be the case. I think Rouhani's team could wait a little longer. Because otherwise we are really not giving Europe a chance to deliver. And it hasn't been given, what it needs to do is quite substantial in order to deliver on the JCPOA, and I think they need another month or two, really, before we give up on that, or before Iran gives up on that.
We're going to get into that a little bit further down the road in our debate here. But first, Dr. Afrasiabi, let's talk about the timing of this as to why Trump has come out making the statement. And really, it's just in a matter of a short period of time that he's coming out with these overtures towards Iran. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think we can pinpoint a number of factors, one of which is that Trump's Iran policy is in serious trouble. The previous American-European front against Iran has now turned into an Iran-European front against the U.S. The U.S. lobbying a number of countries to reduce or stop their oil imports from Iran has met a stiff resistance. The Europeans are about to put into practice the blocking regulations protecting the interest against secondary American sanctions. And if you look at the overall context in the Middle East as well, the deadlock in the Yemen war and the failure of the Saudi US-backed coalition to take over the Hodeidah port and the setbacks in the Red Sea and on, the picture for the US foreign policy in the Middle East doesn't look too good. And the prospect would be even worse if the U.S. tries to impose these sanctions and it backfires against them with the European and other allies. So the U.S. must do something. And there's a chance that Trump's offer of direct talk with no precondition is a tactical ploy to forestall the European initiatives against his unilateral exit from the JCPOA. On the other hand, we see a similarity with the North Korea scenario where Trump's incendiary tweets preceded his sitting down with the North Korean leader. And therefore, Iran must, you know, nuance its response. And Iran has had a number of direct dialogues with the U.S. Back in the 1980s and 90s over Afghanistan, Iraq security, and of course the bilateral and multilateral talks in the nuclear negotiations. So it's not the first time that the U.S. and Iran would sit around the same table. But you know, the important prerequisite for that is to bring down the temperature to de-escalate this climate of extremes dominating the U.S.-Iran relations, and to be consistent with conciliatory approach by the U.S. toward Iran so that Iran would trust the U.S. and would agree to a direct one-on-one talk between President Rouhani and Trump.
Okay, so let's get William Morris to what you referred to, and that is for Iranians, if you were them, I guess, to wait out and see what the Europeans can do in terms of delivering something to them. What can the Europeans do for Iran in this case that they haven't done already? Because Iran has given them a sufficient window of time, but yet the Europeans really have not delivered.
Well, now what Europe has to deliver is quite substantial, and it requires a lot of hard work. and your colleague in Boston, or our discussant in Boston, has referred to some of it. But, I mean, there are other things that Europe could do. It could set up, either in France or Germany, a new bank, a new international bank, specifically to deal with Iran. There are a number of measures that it could take, and the European form of the SWIFT banking transfer system. All these things take time, and Europe does seem to be working quite hard to deliver it on its side of the JCPOA. But you can't snap your fingers and create a new banking system overnight. It's a big ask, and Europe is trying, I think. So if Europe fails, fine, then abandon the JCPOA, but give them a little time. That doesn't actually, to be fair, it doesn't stop you talking to Trump either. I mean, you can and should exploit this offer from Trump and really test him, see if he does mean it when he says this is a offer without preconditions. Go for it, and yes, I think it would be good to put him to the test, but don't abandon the JCPOA to do that. Stay with it for the moment while Europe is struggling to deliver.
Okay, obviously that is something, Dr. Afrasiabi, that actually some Iranian officials have pointed out to, and they have said the return to the deal is an option. This is a senior aide to Rouhani who said the only way back to the talks was for Washington to actually return to the nuclear agreement, saying respecting the Iranian nation's rights and reducing hostilities, and of course returning to the nuclear deal. Mr. Hamid Aboutalabi is the one who said this. Do you think that there's even a chance for that? And let me reference to just days ago where Trump said, I think it was exactly 8 days ago, that he said, we're open for a new nuclear deal.
Well, as your other guest said, the Trump administration has shown many signs of being inconsistent, incoherent, and even erratic. And we now see some movements to reverse itself on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, even the talks of returning to the Paris Climate Agreement, and so on and so forth. So is Iran another example where the Trump administration will make a U-turn? There is a chance, not that great of a chance, because this is a very disastrous, erroneous policy contrary to U.S.'s own interest, because if you go back when it was signed, it wasn't just, you know, the Obama administration and the entire U.S. media, save a few right-wingers, as well as American nuclear experts who hailed this as a significant step forward that would bring greater stability to the world, as well as to the Middle East in particular. And that picture hasn't changed. The JCPOA has been in successful implementation for 3 years. Iran has continued to adhere to it despite U.S.'s unilateral exit from this binding international agreement, which is now subject of an Iranian complaint to the World Court. And this has hurt U.S.'s legitimacy and interest in the region. U.S. is isolated over this matter. And so the Trump administration needs to reflect very seriously about the pros and cons of continuing this aggressive, hostile approach and his grand illusion of regime change in Iran, etc., sold to him by some demagogues like John Bolton, and distance himself from the likes of Bolton and others who are treading the path of war with Iran, which would be disastrous and lose-lose for both sides, as well as the global economy. So there is a possibility that needs to be explored very carefully by both sides, and I think that we need to have a smart diplomacy by both sides based on the principles of mutual respect.
Well, William Morris, I don't know if you can reach out and really pull us into this myriad of dynamics between the relationship between the U.S. and Iran, as to whether there's even a possibility for there to be any type of a rapprochement between these two. Because, first of all, I do have to say the senior Iranian officials, they have said offers of talks without preconditions, they're worthless and a humiliation. A senior analyst has actually said that if the U.S. enters talks, on the front it might look sincere, but once Iran, if Iran enters talks, that the U.S. is going to want more and more, and it's going to want to go with finally what many say is what U.S.'s ultimate goal is, and that is a change of government. Do you see it that way?
No, I don't. I don't see that Trump is seeking a change of government. I mean, Bolton maybe, some of his people maybe, but Trump is a deal maker, and he wants to make a deal. And sure, he's a maximalist. He will exploit the situation, but he's also quite crafty, and he's not going to want to wreck all prospect for some deal over with Iran if he can get one on his terms. Now, whether you can find something mutually acceptable is questionable, but talking is always good. Talking is always worthwhile. It costs nothing and is a way forward, and actually not to talk is not really the way for anyone to progress things. You have a sophisticated country in Iran. You should talk to your friends. You should talk to your enemies. The Prophet Muhammad talked to his enemies. I mean, you can take him as an example. So a conversation is good, is wise, and is definitely a way forward. And if Trump has offered, you should call his bluff. Take the chance and discuss things with him. It may be that we'll get somewhere that way. And certainly there are geopolitical issues that needs resolving. I mean, there are issues now between Iran and Saudi Arabia. There are issues between with regard to Iran in relation to Syria and the wider Middle East, where we need greater stability. We need the great powers to be talking together. And the great international powers are America and Russia. The great regional powers are Iran and Saudi Arabia. We need these conversations to start taking place.
Many of those conversations are issues that could have been discussed in a possible imaginative scenario between Iran and the U.S. Dr. Afia Zabi, well, it's been done already. And the name was the five letters, JCPOA. I'm looking at some of them as preconditions that Michael Pompeo recently set out, Dr. Afia Zabi. Three of them were nuclear related. That was in the JCPOA. Iran's missiles, that was still somewhat related to the JCPOA. And then there's some accusations here that Michael Pompeo has set out. What do you think would be, Dr. Afia Zabi, the top issues that the two countries might want to discuss to entice one or the other to come into talks?
Well, first of all, I'm not surprised that Mr. Pompeo, within hours of his boss making that announcement, directly contradicts him. And, you know, this would be quite, you know, unappealing to Mr. Trump, I imagine, to be contradicted by a subordinate like this. You know, if you look at the history of U.S.-Iran dialogue, and I mentioned a few of them over Iraq security, Afghanistan after Taliban, and you know the nuclear talks, which are subjects I've written extensively about, including in my book on Iran foreign policy after 9/11, co-authored with Deputy Foreign Minister Dr. Maliki, and this book on nuclear negotiations that has a whole chapter on U.S.-Iran détente and rapprochement after the nuclear deal. I think we can draw some very precious lessons. One of which is that restricting the talks to one subject when there are a whole set of other issues in dispute between the two parties is not quite satisfactory, and there needs to be a global approach to U.S.-Iran problems. Secondly, is that we need to identify the areas of agreement and disagreement and work on both selectively in order to enlarge the zones of agreement and then telescope that to meaningful rapprochement down the road. U.S. and Iran now have a number of parallel interests vis-a-vis the threat of Islamic State, Daesh, insecurity in Afghanistan, the threats to stability in Iraq, and so on and so forth. And these are points of reference for a dialogue, in a hypothetical dialogue between Mr. Trump and Mr. Rouhani, where they could flesh out the points of agreement and disagreement. But I disagree with your guest in London that talk is always good. The timing has to be appropriate. Right now, Europe is about to step forward with, you know, these measures that contradict U.S.'s policy on Iran. And if Iran goes for the U.S. talk without considering the European reaction, this might prove to be a trap that would forestall the European initiative. So Iran has to tread very careful waters in giving a very nuanced approach to Mr. Trump while showing that it is not afraid of talk and is not afraid of Trump's bluffing and so on and so forth, and has always advocated rational discourse and dialogue.
Well, William Morris, the way that some publications have covered this piece of news, they use the terminology or the phrase carrot and stick. Now, this approach by the U.S. Seems to be somewhat of a trademark. I'm not too sure what to say about it, except for maybe to ask you if maybe there's a change of vegetable instead of a carrot. I'm not too sure. Change it to something else that perhaps will be sufficient enough for there to be a creative type atmosphere, for there to be engagements. Do you think that there is one that the U.S. can offer?
Yes, I think the point is that we have always had a weakness in the JCPOA, as your colleague, our interlocutor from Boston, said. I mean, in so much as we weren't dealing with all the issues on the table, the JCPOA just dealt with the nuclear issue and left everything else to one side. And there are issues of regional interest and these regional tensions that have mounted that we need to diffuse. So, yes, there's a lot to talk about and a lot to be gained, actually, from discussions in the longer term. I like the fact that President Trump has said discussions without precondition. He should be held to that. And absolutely, then we have a real basis for some talk. I appreciate what your other guest said about waiting, but that doesn't mean you can't start at second track level. You had discrete discussions before the formal JCPOA negotiations took place. You could do that again. I think that it is very important that this offer is actually seized, and it's to Iran's advantage in the long term. Iran can gain out of it. What the vegetable? You want another vegetable in a carrot instead of a carrot? I mean, Syria. Iran and America have been working together to fight Daesh. But, well, not directly together, but nonetheless, they've had a shared objective. And it would be good now to see Iran negotiating with America over the Syria issue to get some common sense out of America and get some real stability in Syria. There's still a lot of steps to be taken there. We have to get Turkey out of northern Syria. So there are many issues. There are many issues that are on the table, and we can make real progress with discussions between Iran and America.
And in 30 seconds, if you can, Dr. Afrio Siabi, what if there are no talks between Iran and the U.S.? What happens? What's next?
Well, unfortunately, the absence of talk would only signify a very hostile climate between the two countries. That in light of the U.S.'s decision to impose tough, crushing sanctions on Iran that exact a heavy price on the Iranian economy and trying to stop Iran's oil exports, that's really an invitation to war and disaster that, as I said, is not in the interest of anyone. And therefore, it's very important to pursue the path of dialogue and conciliation based on the principle of mutual interest and recognition of each other's national interests.
Very well, we're going to leave it there. Thank you, author and political scientist Dr. Kaveh Afrizabi from Boston, and thank you, Secretary General of the Next Century Foundation, William Morris from London. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. For me, Kaveh Tawai, entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.